نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد حضرت مولانا اشرف علی تھانوی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ نے بعض تفصیل الدین اسٹیٹس of course there is a continuation of his was بس دنیا کی نیت کرنا دعا کے منافی نہیں کیونکہ احادیث شریف میں دنیا کی نیت سے بھی دعا کرنے کا حکم ہے. مثلا ایک حدیث شریف میں ہے وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ کہ اللہ تعالیٰ سے عافیت کی دعا مانگو, اسی طرح سے حصول رزق, حصول غنا و اداء دین وغیرہ کے لیے بھی حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے دعائے تعلیم فرمائی ہے. اور اگر احادیث میں غور کیا جائے تو معلوم ہوگا کہ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے کسی دنیاوی راحت کو نہیں چھوڑا جس کے لیے کوئی دعا نہ بتلائی ہو, اور کسی مصیبت کو نہیں چھوڑا جس سے پناہ مانگنے کا طریقہ نہ بتلایا ہو, بلکہ راحت و مصیبت کے علاوہ ہر حالت کے متعلق ایک نہ ایک دعا آپ کی مقرر فرمائی ہوئی ہے. The gist of which and meaning of which is this, that people sometimes think that it is not permissible to seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala what we term as worldly things, whereas in the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam there is nothing that he has left out that he has not begged of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at the supplications of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they will either be seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala some kind of bounty or the other, whether it is rizq, whether it is health, whether it is good wealth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was teaching the ummah. Many times I have explained that if you have to look at his house, it was a 2x2 room. But look at the dua that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to make after the wuzu, in which we are told to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. So in that dua also there is a very clear indication that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although for himself he chose a particular way of life in which there was no question of even keeping one coin for the next day. There was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam opening up any kind of bank account as we do for saving of money. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not purchase any kind of Krugerrands or in those days whatever gold and silver there must have been. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not do any kind of saving. His tawakkul, his yaqeen on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was such that there was nothing that was kept for the next day. But he gave his wives one whole year whatever their requirements were in the form of rizq or sustenance or maintenance. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam provided for the whole year. He gave it to them. But those wives were also like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that they were not really concerned about storing anything and keeping anything. So they also distributed. Thousands sometimes they distributed. And it did not concern them where it's going to come again tomorrow. But the ummah at large was not going to be able to have that kind of yaqeen and tawakkul and trust. So therefore we have all the masail that are there, whether it is of zakat, whether it is of inheritance, sadaqat, qurbani, and all these masail that are there. It's only a person who has some wealth that will be able to give zakat, or who will be eligible, or who will be liable for zakat. It's only a person of wealth will be liable for zakat. In the same way the person who's got wealth, he will be liable for hajj. If he hasn't got any money, what hajj is going to give? Or will it become farz on him? It's not going to become farz on him. In the same way, many, many other masail that are there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has recommended that you leave something for the children. If you look into the ahadith, then you will find that it is better that we leave something for the children than that they should go and beg. That means those people who can afford to do that. So it clearly shows that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen, mercy unto the worlds. Not only for the rich, not only for the poor. Otherwise people would have said that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is a Nabi only for the poor. means you have to be extremely poor to be able to follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So then what would the rich have done? What would the kings and rulers have done? So there's guidelines for everyone that what should you do? How should those riches be acquired? And how the person should spend of that wealth? And what are the duties upon that person? What are the responsibilities? What are the obligations? How much of zakat he must give? How much of sadaqat he must give? All those rules are there so that the person may know how to be a waliullah even in the midst of wealth. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in that wuzu dua, Allahumma ghfir li zambi, oh Allah, forgive my sins. So he said that we have made wuzu. So outwardly now we have washed our hands, our face, and we have made masa of the head, we have washed our feet. So that much we can do. But what about the taharat and the purification of the soul? Taharat of the heart, the qalb, what was the heart of ours, it becomes polluted with so much of sins that we commit. So the sins we are told in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that as the person is washing his face, hands, feet, the sins wash off, then the minor sins are washed off. Now inside we can't put water there and wash our hearts. The person can't say, well now I gargled my mouth, so my throat got cleaned out, and I cleaned my nostrils, and I washed my hands and feet, so like that now I'm going to take some water and somehow get it into my heart and wash the dirt of the heart out. The dirt of the heart cannot be washed with water or wuzu. So for that it is Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi. Oh Allah, just as I've been able to wash my hands, feet, Ya Allah, this heart of mine now, it is something that I cannot wash with water. So I'm asking you for forgiveness. I'm asking you for maghfirat. Ya Allah, forgive me my sins, my weaknesses, my shortcomings, the injustice that I have done upon my soul, the pollution that has taken place of my heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, with your fazal, with your kindness, make me maaf. Forgive me my sins. But now immediately after that, وَوَسِّعْلِي فِي دَارِي. Now where does that come? So I explained this many times, it is وَسِّعْلِي فِي دَارِي. The person is not asking for some kind of a lavish house, plenty of decoration and extravagance. What he is saying, spaciousness. There is a need for spaciousness in the home. Shaykh al-Shafi, Muhammad Akhtar Shafi, Muhammad Farakasim explains this. So we all know that when a person is single, then he can live in one 2x2 room. But after he gets married, he's got parents, he's got family, the person has children, the person has in-laws, and some people have outlaws, whatever it is, now all those kind of laws. So somebody is coming and visiting, cousins are coming, aunties are coming, uncles are coming, family and friends are coming, and sometimes people will come and stay over. So if he just has one room, where is he going to put them up? What about the pardaja? And what about all the inconvenience? Where are you going to feed them? So we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for spaciousness. Some person will require one room extra, some will require two rooms. That's why when people are searching for homes, so they ask them, how many room house you are looking for? Now if the person is married and he's got no children, his family, somebody is in Canada, somebody in America, somebody in outer space, somebody has landed on the moon, nobody visiting him, and there's nobody really coming. So now that person, if he says that I require a 10 room house, because there's something wrong with his head, this person requires a small house. And somebody will say, I require a 2-roomed house, somebody will say 3-roomed house, taking into consideration his family. If he's got grown-up girls, grown-up boys, so now he has to separate the rooms. So then this person won't say, I just need one room. He's looking for something which will accommodate the different sizes of the family. So, وَسِعْلِي فِي دَارِي. So therefore we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In other words, whatever our needs with regards to the family, and with regards to friends and visitors and others, we are asking Allah Ta'ala to bless us with that kind of spacious home. look at the rahmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He's linking it with the dua of wuzu. Because a person is going to make dua wuzu so many times. And then wabarik li fi rizqi, that even those people are going to come, now where is he going to feed them from if he doesn't have rizq? If he doesn't have sustenance, if he doesn't have barakat in his sustenance. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was rahmatul lil alameen. He took into consideration the ummah that was going to come to the day of qiyamah. All the ahkam of Islam and Sharia, Quran and Sunnah, if you have to look at it, it is till the day of Qiyamah. And no person can say that there's no guideline for me in there. There's no guidance for me. There will be guidance. Sometimes a person cannot reach that. Oh, Hadith Sharif is there, Quran Sharif, Ayat is there. The whole group of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's companions, 124,000 of them in the plains of Arafat. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, أَصْحَابِي تَنْهُجُونَ بِأَيَّهِمْ يَقْتَدَيْتُمْ يَهْتَدَيْتُمْ بِأَيَّهِمْ يَقْتَدَيْتُمْ يَهْتَدَيْتُمْ. So 124,000. Now amongst them were very rich. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala, and look at his riches. Amongst them were extremely poor. Amongst them were the middle class. Amongst them were people who were married, there were people who were not married. Different colors, people of different persuasions, in different fields of activities when it came to their earning and livelihood. Some were getting it through farming, some were getting it through sale of animals and cattle, sheep, goats, camels. Some were earning it through other sources. So there will be some kind of a guideline if a person has got any kind of problem. Whether it is marital problem, whether it is family dispute, whether it is economic and business problem, whether it is any other problem. Then there will be some Hadith Sharif, there will be some incident in the life of some companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from which he can take some kind of lesson. That if a person is in this kind of a situation, then what must he do? Therefore we find that in the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, also there have been disputes. There have been disputes. Husband and wife. Children. But the disputes were not like our disputes of nafs and shaitan. But then, that is where the laws were given as to how it should be resolved. All this arbitration, mediation and everything, there's a whole volumes have been written on it. Now where do they deduce all that from? From the Quran Sharif, from the Hadith Sharif. So that is deen, that nothing is left out. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for afiya, for well-being. And there's a deep meaning in this word, afiya. In the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's du'as, there's a seeking of sustenance, rizq. After the wuzu, after the zamzam water, when a person drinks zamzam water, then after drinking, what does he say? Again, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a, wa rizqan wasi'a, wa shifa'an min kulli da'a. And asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for ilm, which is nafi'a and beneficial. Which is going to benefit the person. And rizq again, which is in abundance. In with this wus'at, it must be halal also. It must be tayyib, and it must be full of barakat, rahmat. So you are seeking these things. It shows that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, by making these du'as, he taught us that deen is not only namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. If a person is hungry and starving, it will affect his namaz also. If a person has got no food, then where will his concentration be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an ihsan that he gives us so much to eat. There are so many places where people are refugees, people who have got nothing to eat, they don't even have a slice of bread. We make all the masti, this is not right, this is not very tasty, and this is too salty, and this one got a lot of chilies, and that one got... There's nothing wrong for the purposes of islah, as we say, for the purpose of islah. In Madina Sharif, I mentioned this because somebody had a wrong impression that you must not, because we say in our bayan, you must not criticize anything and you must not complain about anything. Now the person asked me a question, he says, well, sometimes it just comes out of our tongues that this is not right or that is not right, or we go and complain, then do we fall in the same category? I said, it depends on how you say it. One is that your love for Madina Sharif is there, the ihtiram of Madina Sharif, Makkah Sharif is in your heart, and you are merely giving some information so that it is rectified. For example, if the room is not cleaned out, and it's supposed to have been cleaned, and the person hasn't come for 1-2 days to clean, so definitely you'll be a little uncomfortable. So one is to talk ill about Madina Sharif, or to talk ill about the people of Madina Sharif, and to say they are like this and they like that, and we paid our money and look at the service. And one is to go nicely and tell the person at the reception, or telephone and tell them your cleaner hasn't come. The toilet needs cleaning, the room needs cleaning. Or in the curry, if there is less salt, there's nothing wrong in saying, please, if you could pass me some salt. Or can you just ask somebody to send some salt? Or if there's less sugar in the tea, can you please send somebody with some sugar? Or can you please give me some sugar because there's less sugar in the tea? But that is not complaint now of Madina Sharif. That is for the purpose of islah, or to put right that which is requiring some ingredient or something, to put it right. But it depends on the tone in which it is said. Now if the person says, these people, that's the only way they treat us here, and this is, look at the kind of tea they're giving us, and this kind of tea we won't even give to our maids to drink, na'uzubillah. Now when the person talks like that, then it shows that now he's complaining from Madina Sharif and the people of Madina Sharif. So there's a need for understanding. There's a need for understanding. Now, we just go on to any extreme. So to put it across politely, there's a niyat of putting something right, then there's nothing wrong with that. There's a niyat of putting something right, there's nothing wrong. The person says it politely. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us, all these du'as that he's teaching us is to show us that our deen is like not the deen of others, where there is a separation that this is deen, this is dunya. There's no separation, there's no compartmentalization here. Our deen, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us such a deen that whatever you do, no matter how mundane that activity, but if you do it with the right niyat, for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, or in the fulfillment of the law and ahkam of Allah ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then it becomes ibadat. Now which other deen can you get in which all these things become ibadat? With dua, before entering the toilet, if the person reads the dua, and when he comes out, he reads the dua. Before eating, he reads the dua, and after eating, he reads the dua. And when he gets up, he reads the dua, and when he goes to sleep, he reads the dua. And when he's doing his business also, his niyat is that I want halal livelihood and sustenance so that I don't have to beg. So that I may be able to fulfill the rights of my wife, my children, or those who are my dependents. And I want it in a halal way. I don't want to displease Allah Ta'ala. I don't want to deal with interest. I don't want to get it through gambling. I don't want to cheat and deceive anybody. Now with that kind of niyat, the person is getting so much of sawab just to earn his livelihood. In fact, for the poor man that is going out and making the effort to bring some food home for the children is jihad. He gets the sawab of being out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. That poor man has got half a dozen children, has got rent, light, water bills to pay, and he has to go in the morning, and some of them make them work 7 to 7, 7 days a week. So now that person who is making that kind of effort, he is out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Look at the hadith. Because the person is making that kind of effort so that his children don't starve. But of course, the person does not have to be occupied in that way. So then he must also engage himself in other activities of deen. But what I'm getting across to you is that our deen is such that if the person does everything according to the Quran and Sunnah and Ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, then it becomes, and even the dunya becomes deen. When Allah Ta'ala he took some desics which make you run out and urinate a lot because of the water that fills up some type that the doctors give, that medication. So now he had to go whole night, he was going up, down, up, down. In the morning, someone, his khadim tells him, Hazrat, raat ko to aapko bahut takleef hui hogi. Half a dozen times he went to the toilet, up, down, up, down. Didn't get sleep. So he said, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala ka bada fazal raha. Masnoon dua padh karke daakhil hua. Aur nikalne ke baad masnoon dua padhi. So, bahut zyada sawab ki umeed hai. He's hoping in sawab. What we would have said, it was very, very disturbing whole night. I was sick and tired. So it just depends on how you look at it. That very famous Tamla story, that either you look at it as half full, or you look at it as half empty. If you look at it as half empty, then it has a different effect. It is half empty. But if you look at it as half full, then it has a different psychological effect. And give somebody half a tumbler of juice or half cup of tea to drink, and the person is very thirsty or very hungry. So now the person, if he looks at it as half full, then it will give him a different effect. But if he says, what this person gave me half of, it has a different effect. So this Allah Wala, they look at it like that. I mentioned about the Dr. Haji Farooq Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi. Jidda airport, they were stuck there for 3 days, or 2 days, or 3 days, because they missed the flight, or the Hajj traffic, or so much, whatever happened. So they put the mattresses there in Hajj tank, you all know what happens there, Hajj terminal. And they were there for 3 days. So he carried on with his tilawat, zikr, ibadat, majlis, sleep, rest, eat, whatever had to be done. What takleef hui hogi? Kya takleef? This side Makkah Sharif, this side Madina Sharif. Breeze coming from this side and that side, and we in the center. So it depends on how you look at it. So there is shukar over even that. So even if we cannot reach those stages, at least we can make shukar over the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But here what we are discussing is that seek from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The person is seeking good health, long life, happiness. Is seeking risk and sustenance. Is seeking a spacious home. He is seeking from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala righteous and pious children. He is seeking from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shifa and cure from his ailment and sickness. All these things, we may look at it as being dunya. But if it is the right niyat, then it is not sinful, it is not anything that will cause spiritual harm. But the maqsad must not be dunya. The maqsad must be the akhirah. Why do we want to live in this world long? So that we may accumulate enough good deeds for the akhirah. That's our intention. Not that we want to stay here long so that we can watch more TV and watch more cricket and soccer and we can carry on with our evil ways and habits. The person who is engaging in all kinds of sins, now he wants to live long in this world, he doesn't want to leave this world, so that he can enjoy all this haram. So what we are asking Allah Ta'ala for long life is so that we will be able to do more deen khidmat, get more and more blessings and rewards, accumulate more before we leave from this world, so that when we go to the akhirat, we may not have an empty scale on the side of the good deeds. Although the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is really what we must seek, we must not have great hope on our a'mal. But it is a world of means, we always say, so that is one of the means. We always say this world of means, world of means. So a'mal and good actions are also means. The person with rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So where do you get that rahmat? رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين. عايز نزيد الرحمة، قريب من المحسنين. Evil of the sifat of ihsan, all that wide meaning. One of the meanings is sifat. Good deeds, good actions, good amal, when the person is going to do, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's rahmat will be qareeb. And the other meaning of ihsan, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as if you are seeing Him. Then if not, then Allah Ta'ala is seeing you. Meaning is that if we cannot get that degree, then Allah Ta'ala is watching, whether we like it or not. That much every person can understand, that Allah Ta'ala is watching, otherwise why is He doing it? In namaz, why don't we talk? Why don't we walk about? And those who are used to the cigarettes, why don't they catch a puff? Namaz, the person is conscious that my Allah is watching. So I cannot do otherwise. Qiyam time I have to make qiyam. Ruku time I have to make ruku. In ruku I have to read ruku tasbih. In sajda I have to read sajda tasbih. Tashawud durud du'a. I have to face the qibla. The person can't face in the direction that he likes. If every person was left to his own choice, then in the masjid we all would have come. Allahu Akbar. You find one facing east, one north, one south, one east. You ask one person, why are you facing in this direction? He says, soon I'm going to get married. My fiance is in that direction. Other person will say, my supermarket and shopping mall is in this direction. So when I face in this direction, at least gives me some kind of happiness and consolation. So every person knows he must face Qibla in the namaz, and all do it. So it shows that that much we know that Allah Ta'ala is watching, even though we may not be watching Him, but He is watching. Otherwise, why should we remain in that state? Why should we be tired after we meet Allah Akbar? So each and every one who is in namaz, consciously or unconscious, subconsciously, the person is accepting that Allah is watching. Understand, even though we may not be doing it consciously, because ihsan is that we worship Allah Ta'ala as if we are seeing Allah Ta'ala, and if not, then He is watching us. So we say we cannot get that degree, but we are demonstrating it in namaz that we can get. Because the very fact that we have tied ourselves to the ahkam and laws governing namaz, that when you make Allahu Akbar, then these are the laws. So who made those laws? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated it. But وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. So it shows it's coming from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So each and every one of us in namaz we are showing. Therefore the namaz, if it comes right, then all the other ibadat comes right. Actions come right, dealings come right. So if there's a weakness in any department, the person is making namaz but he's still stealing, making namaz but watching porn sites, making namaz but engaging in adultery and fornication, then it shows that there is a deficiency in that namaz. If he puts his namaz right, the other things will come right too. Because in that namaz, in that short space of time, he's very conscious, he's not doing other things. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not leave out anything of this world or the akhirah. Anything that was beneficial for the ummah. But that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned any khair that a person could acquire. And when the person wants protection from shar, then look at all the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That from which shar and which mischief and which evil Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not ask. For Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for protection. Now all those evils that we have to look at in the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Now na'uzu billah, was Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam going to commit any of those sins? He is asking Allah ta'ala for protection from this sin, from that sin, from that sin. If you have to go into it, you can go on for hours. So now was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going to engage in any kind of sin? So it is for the ummah that is going to come till the day of Qiyamah. So to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for any dunyavi ni'mat, or to seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protection from any kind of mischief and harm, that's all the niyat has to be correct. That's all. How beautiful our deen. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you an ummah that lies the tawfiq of amal. And that is the objective of all works of deen. To build up that connection with Allah ta'ala. That we do everything in accordance with His ahkam and laws. And in the beautiful way that has been shown and demonstrated by Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his hadith. That's what. Make 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Allah will finish tonight's meditation.
Ya Rab, karam se apne to dono jahan de.
Exactly what we have been discussing. Ya Rab, karam se apne to dono jahan de. We are asking Allah Ta'ala for the best of this world and the best of the akhirah.
Ya Rab, karam se apne to dono jahan de. Mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. Ya Rab, karam se apne to dono jahan de. Jo mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah, 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 Allah.
والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ما يبلغنا الله ما يرحمنا الله كريم الله وصفدنا الله most compassionate most loving most caring الله there is no one for us besides you tere siwa hamara koi sahara tere siwa koi hamara nahi ae rab e kareem ae rab e kareem ae rab e kareem you are kareem mai laga hua you give to those who are not even deserving Ya Rabb Kareem, what are we deserving of? We are deserving of your wrath, your anger, your punishment, your azab. Ya Rabb Kareem, but you don't love to punish. You don't love to send down your azab. You really love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. We are turning towards you, Allah. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, a life that carried out the sins. Forgive our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, Ummat of Nabi Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hamare haal par raham farma, Rabbe Kareem raham farma, Rabbe Kareem raham farma. اگر تو نے نگاہ رحمت پھیر لی تو میرے اللہ ہم گندے جائے تھا تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں ہم جیسے بھی ہے گندے ہیں ناپاک اور نالائق ہیں بندے نظر تیرے لفظ اللہ bless us all with good health those who are sick and ailing We are spiritually sick, we are physically. Whosoever is sick and ailing, whether it is in hospital, clinic, homes among us, let everyone be complete shifa. We know that sometimes physical ailments can be a rahmat and a mercy in disguise. But my beloved Allah, we are not in that category. But even if it is a mercy for someone, change it to the rahmat of good health. Because when financial difficulty is less than the 10, people of halal risk and remove the return. Those who are weak give them strength, those who are on journeys make them reach the destination safely. Those who are in umrahs make them maqbool and maqroor. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, Ummat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remove the difficulty, the hardship, the pain and suffering of mankind around the world, and especially the Ummat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Haramain Sharifain ki al-Fatiha, Masjid al-Aqsa ki al-Fatiha. Tabligh-e da'wat ki mehnat qubool fa. استماعات گشت تعلیم و قبول کرو جو تیرے راہ میں قربانیاں دے رہے سب کو قبول کرو اے رب کریم دین کو عام اور عام کر مساجد مدارس خانقاہوں کو قبول کرو سب کام کرنے والوں کو اخلاص کی توفیق سے مالا مال کرو ہمیں عافیت نصیب فرما صحت دے Bless us with your qurb, with your ma'rifat, with your yaqeen, and with your tawakkul and trust. Darje pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. Darje pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda. Tera banda wa ummi karam alam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, the time for our death can't take us to Medina Fajr. Salamati Adina Aza Fasad Medina Sharif Nishahadat Imaud Nasir. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. From all the mischief, corruption, fitna, you ask for protection, protect us. And the ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations, tamanna. That is in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. اے رب کریم اور سارے رینائز سے سو مت ڈسٹریکشن ڈسٹریکشن اے رب کریم یہ ریلی ٹیکنگ ہوگی کی ہوگی اے رب کریم فلفل دی گڈ ویشز ڈیزائر دی سولوشن And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of each and every individual. With your fazal, with your kindness, with your ihsan, remove our suffering, pain, difficulties and their pain, suffering and difficulties. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين